In this episode of Tax Resolution Talk, I'm going to be discussing the dirty secrets about filing a joint return with your spouse. Hello, if you've never been here before, my name's Jim Wade. I'm a tax attorney here in Maine. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about things that spouses don't know when filing their tax return. The first big secret is you don't need to file a joint tax return. I mean, many people believe incorrectly that if you're married, you need to file a joint return, unless maybe you're separated. Well, that's not true. In fact, when you file a joint return, you're actually, you and your spouse are affirmatively electing that you both will be liable 100% for both your taxes. So let's make a quick example here. Let's say you're a house spouse. In these days, you can't say housewife anymore because that's not true. But let's say the house spouse, and you are taking care of the kids, whereas the other spouse is working and earning all the income and thus incurring all the taxes that are going to be paid. When you file a joint return, you both are liable for those taxes that are due, even though you yourself didn't actually do anything to earn the income. So let's say you get divorced and there's a balance due on a joint return, the IRS can come after you both. Doesn't have to come after any one of you specifically. It can come after you just as much as it can come after your other spouse. And often what will happen is generally the IRS will go after the wage-earning spouse. So let's say your spouse that earned the income actually is self-employed. And now that you're divorced, you go get a job, a regular job, while they continue to be self-employed. Unfortunately, it just seems like the IRS usually picks the low-hanging fruit because you're earning a wage, they can find your employer, hit them with a garnishment, and now they're getting money. So just be aware. The first big dirty secret is you do not need to file a joint return. Sort of a corollary to that is you can file a joint return if you file separate first. What you cannot do is file married filing joint and then later file married filing separate. So if you have a situation where you have concerns about your spouse and maybe their honesty when it comes to reporting taxes, you can certainly do a married filing separate return. And maybe later, if let's say all your concerns are cleared up, you can then file a joint return. Just be aware, when you file married filing separate, you lose out on certain tax benefits. There are some credits and some deductions you can't claim if you file separate. Now, that's not always true. There is an exception where if you are what they consider an abandoned spouse, you may be able to claim head of household, and you'd kind of move yourself away from that, you know, sort of this these disallowed credits and deductions. But it's very rare that happens. So that's the first big dirty secret. So the second one is, you know, I'm not worried about it. I'm going to file a joint return. And if we get divorced, or let's say the other spouse does something wrong, I can go to the IRS and get, you know, sort of this separated, you know, this liability split. Well, the answer to that is it is very hard to do. We'll start with the first, most simplest one, which is there's no sort of wrongdoing involved or any mistakes that were made by the other spouse that caused this liability to arise at a later date, say through an audit or some other examination. Just there's a total balance due, it doesn't get paid, you get divorced, you go to the court and say, okay, split the liability. And now we're all set. I take my tax debt, they've got theirs, we're all set with the IRS. I got this nice, shiny divorce judgment. Problem is, the IRS is the federal government. The state courts are state government. Federal trumps state. So the IRS does not have to recognize or give power to that divorce judgment. It can still come after you both. Now, you can use what they call innocent spouse to get the liability separated. The problem is it's very, very hard to get. You just don't get it because you're unhappy that you're being stuck with 100% of the liability like the other spouse. What you in fact have to show is that the other spouse, through either underreporting income or overstating deductions, created this liability, and you want to be sort of split off from that, and that you weren't aware of, you know, this tax liability. Very rarely does someone get out of that tax, but, you know, it's a lot harder to show that you didn't know than you think. Very frequently what happens is that someone who is in an abusive relationship or a very controlling relationship, that they're often the ones who will get that relief. Or there are some circumstances where in older couples where I know this is very chauvinistic, paternalistic, whatever you choose your description, where the man of the house was always the one that took care of the finances, the woman was just take care of the kids. And so there would be these undiscovered liabilities that the, you know, the wife didn't know about, and, you know, finds out years later after the spouse, you know, is either divorced or dead. And now here they are, they just don't know what's going on. You can get relief in those circumstances, but obviously family dynamics have changed. Oftentimes it's the man who has no idea about the finances, and it's the woman who's taking care of it. certainly the way it is in my household. I think if I didn't have my wife, I wouldn't know what I would do with myself. But those are usually the circumstances. Now, there is an exception to that where if there's a balance due and it's not necessarily related to some sort of bad behavior by the other spouse. When I say bad, I guess I shouldn't say it that way. I should say where there's something done by the other spouse that gives rise to this tax liability. Sometimes that can be unintentional, but if you have an unpaid balance and, you know, you either weren't aware of it or you knew of it, but the other spouse said, hey, I'm going to take care of it, it's paid, and there was nothing that would lead you to believe that it wasn't being taken care of. You can sometimes get relief under those circumstances. But again, it's very hard. So that's innocent spouse. That's if you think that you can file a joint return and then very easily get out of it through either a divorce judgment or getting innocent spouse relief, it's very difficult. So your choice to file a joint return should be an intelligent choice, meaning don't just default to filing joint. Think about, hey, is there something I should be concerned about? Because once you sign, it's going to be very hard to reverse. And so the last dirty secret is you don't actually have to sign the return to be jointly liable. So there are circumstances where one spouse will file the returns for both of them. And, you know, you'll often hear people who later on when they found there's trouble say, well, I never even signed that return. Well, there are circumstances where the IRS was going to argue, and they've been successful in this, where you in the past have sort of approved the filing of that return by the other spouse without you actually signing it or without you actually seeing it. And, you know, unfortunately, taxpayers have found themselves on the wrong side of the law on that. So, you know, if you have a situation where you're relying upon the other spouse to handle the taxes, you very much want to review it and authorize it, whether it be by a signature or something. You don't want that return to be filed without your knowledge, without your review, because you may be essentially agreeing without seeing, a big tax bill. So you want to know about it. And you also, and this is kind of something I just kind of triggered my memory, was just to say, you know, going back to innocent spouse where you've got a tax bill and you believe it's being taken care of, you know, really you want to focus on making sure that you're telling them, hey, we need to get this paid, we need to get this taken care of, and you're taking steps to do it. Do not sort of put your head in the sand and ignore the problem, because it will not get taken care of. At least you're not going to get any relief from the IRS. So those are the big dirty secrets about filing a joint return. So in summary, you know, you don't have to file a joint return. there may be very good reasons to file separately. If you're going through a divorce because you're agreeing to joint liability, do you really want to be, you know, sort of on the hook with the other spouse? Also, you know, filing a joint return is an election where you both agree to liability 100% for each other's tax debts. And if you think you're just going to be able to get out of it if circumstances change and suddenly you can't afford to pay it or you get divorced, it's very hard to get out of that. And then finally, you know, just because you don't see it or you don't sign it doesn't mean you can't be sort of on the hook for that joint tax liability. So I hope you found that helpful. If you've got any questions, certainly feel free to give me a call at 207-502-7181 or email me at jwade@jdwadelaw.com. And don't worry, that information will be in the show notes, you know, so you don't have to write it down. I hope you found this helpful, and you guys have a wonderful day. Bye.